Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 81, recorded December 26th, 2024.
Control yourself!
Okay, sorry.
What is he saying? What is he saying, by the way?
Control yourself. Okay. That's when Margaret Qualley is yelling at Demi Moore's character.
Gotcha.
Control yourself.
I'll watch it this weekend or something.
Not there is no she.
You are one.
You are one.
I love that movie so much. I pre-ordered the 4K. Already.
Kim really liked it too. She came down probably like 20 minutes in and watched the rest of it with me, but she enjoyed it.
Yeah, my daughter loved it too. So yeah, it's good. Another great one that has feminist themes to it. It's not really horror; it's kind of a horror comedy, bit of a drama. Is called Night Bitch.
Yeah, that's with Amy Adams, right?
Yeah,
she thinks she's a dog.
You got to watch the movie.
I read about it in Fangoria, and it sounded interesting.
Yeah, I saw the screening of that one at Beyond Fest, and that was pretty good.
Okay. Is it actually streaming yet?
It's streaming now. Yeah. I think. Right. When it comes to Hulu today.
Hulu's getting everything anymore, huh?
Yeah.
Because I watched Alien Romulus.
Fantastic film, by the way.
Yeah, and I was like, where can I watch it? I'm like, Hulu. I'm like, God damn, it's like the only one I don't have. I just got Paramount 2 weeks ago.
Paramount's got some good stuff.
I'm going to be getting Paramount because the new we'll talk about it in news. Anyway, let's get started into some news.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, there you go.
All right. A new trailer that I will post to the Facebook group, but also we are on Blue Sky. So if you are a Blue Sky subscriber, please follow us there. I will post all of our stories and news and links and reposted information from all the people that I follow that are in horror business in one way or another. But there's a new trailer for a movie called Bloody Axe Wound.
It's a good name.
Yeah, this one, it says that it's going to be in theaters. Right now it's in theaters. Started on the 25th. And it will be streaming in Shudder soon. It's a Shudder-sponsored film.
Cool.
Shudder has not yet announced a specific date for when it will be streaming, but it will be streaming on Shudder in the future. The film stars Sari Amorbrullo, Molly Brown, Eddie Levy, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Billy Burke. The running time is about 83 minutes. The summary from the trailer says that Abby Burkhardt is a teenager torn between macabre traditions with her family's bloody trade and the tender strings of her first crush. In a small town of Clover Falls, Abby's father, Roger Bladecut, has built an infamous legacy of capturing real life killings on tape and selling them to eager customers. But Abby delves deeper into the grisly family business. She begins to wonder if it's time to take the family tradition in a new direction. The trailer looked pretty good. It's a comedy horror. I'll post the video, the link to the trailer, but
yeah,
it looked pretty funny.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Here's the reason why I'm going to be subscribing to Paramount Plus. Dexter or Original Sin sneak peek trailer. They give a little clip of the beginning of the show.
Yep. Got a good cast.
Yeah. Dexter, first of all, Dexter is one of my favorite TV shows of all time outside of course, the Sopranos and maybe some other ones.
Like really? Breaking okay, Bad. Good. Because that's why, I mean, that's one of the reasons I got Paramount was for the Dexter.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna start watching the original.
Yep, I'm rewatching the original. I'm on.
That was a while back, wasn't it?
How long? Ago? Oh yeah,
long time ago,
early 2000s. Yeah, because I remember my daughter was watching it at the time too, and then for Christmas one year I got her a Dexter poster for her bedroom.
This is a prequel, right?
Yeah, Dexter Original Sin covers him in his teen years.
So maybe I'd be better off watching this, and then once I'm finished this, then start.
It's narrated by him. I don't know if you need to know the backstory, I guess. I guess you don't. I don't know. We'd have to wait and see. But there's also another one coming out next year that is the Dexter Resurrected.
Oh,
comes
really?
Out June. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Is he like a zombie?
Don't know the details of that one. Don't know the details of that one. Because they had Dexter, then he had Dexter New Blood, which was like a new season of him with his kid grown up. Because he has a kid in the first series.
So did you watch the New Blood?
Yeah, New Blood was great.
That's on. I'm guessing that's on Showtime too.
Yep. And then we have Dexter Original Sin, which is him younger, and Dexter Resurrected, which I'm not sure what that covers, but it has everyone back from the original show. About Dexter, he's smart, he's good looking, and he's got a great sense of humor. Dexter Morgan, everyone's favorite serial killer, as a Miami forensics expert, he spends his days solving crimes and nights committing them. But Dexter lives a strict code of honor that is both his saving grace and a lifelong burden. That's torn funny. Between his deadly compulsion and his desire for true happiness, Dexter is a man in profound conflict with the world and himself. Golden Globe winner Michael C. Hall stars in the hit Showtime original series. Dexter Original Sin follows Dexter in 1991 Miami as a student transitioning into a serial killer in training when his bloodthirsty urges could no longer be ignored. Dexter finds solace and understanding in Harry. As his only confidant, he teaches Dexter a code designed to help him find and kill people who deserve to die, all while avoiding getting caught by law enforcement. This is a particular challenge for a young Dexter as he begins forensics internship at the Miami Metro Police Department. So yeah, he's a forensics expert, solves crime. He's a blood spatter expert, more specifically. and he kills people.
Fun.
Yeah, so it's a great show because there's a lot of tension in the fact that he's almost always very close to getting caught because he fucks up a little bit.
Does he narrate, like you hear like his voices in his head? Like,
yeah, so. Yep. He's okay. The narrator, which is funny because a couple seasons in, like you start to believe that maybe the narrator is not telling the truth.
Yeah,
it's a great show. I really think it was well written. It's very good.
Okay,
I have it in my queue.
Penny Dreadful was on Paramount Plus too. So, did you ever watch Penny Dreadful?
No, I haven't watched that.
Watch it. It's a great
I heard
show.
It's really good, though. Yeah.
But
you
they
guys
sort
talk
of,
about
they
all
sort
time.
Of cut it off short-lived, too, I think.
Though. I thought they were making a movie or something with it.
Yeah,
they?
I don't know.
It
pissed me off.
Yeah. All right. Evil Dead Burn is coming in 2026.
Wow.
There is a Instagram posting. On their website showing the script.
Oh, they got the script?
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
And that's the dude from what movie did he just do? Shit, I forget.
Who are we talking about?
The director of this.
Yeah, I can't
this
remember.
One. He just did what, something
what's
else.
What's his name? Do you know the name? The director's name?
Dude, somehow I fucked up my notes here because
like he did Infested.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Infested. It's
the French dude. Yeah, I can't remember his name, but it was hard to pronounce anyway.
Yeah, but I remember it's the dude who did Infested because it's like, oh, we like that movie, so yeah. It's in good hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somehow I don't. My notes are fucked up here. That's what I get
Dog
for kicking. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. The funny thing is, it seems all the stories are now just about the book. No longer, Ash is no longer a thing. They're not focusing on one character as the thread between them all. It's the books. So yeah. I guess that's a good thing. It's a good thing because ultimately you don't have somebody aging out of a role or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 You can go backwards. You can go forwards with these books.
You can go comedy. You can go horror. You can go comedy horror. You can go, you know. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. Umbrella Entertainment announced they're doing a Daybreakers 4K Special Collector's Edition release. The cool features about this is, number one, Daybreakers, fairly decent vampire film. I do have it on Blu-ray. I bought it when it originally came out because it's such a great film, or I thought it was. I like that vampire movies. But the new release is going to be Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos Audio 4K disc, selling for $70. Oy. Yeah, I'm not going to be buying it at $70. I don't want the collector's edition. I just want the disc, so I'll wait for the price to go down. But Umbrella Entertainment, great company. These are the guys that also released Late Night with the Devil on 4K. They also did the Terrifier series on 4K. So excellent, excellent company to get that stuff from. Stephen King has another story being made into a film. Man. His short story, Autopsy Room Number 4. According to Deadline, this has been picked up as a new film. The story was first published in King's limited edition collection, Six Stories, in 1997. And in 2002, it was collected in King's collection, Everything's Eventual. I remember that book. And then it was adapted into a short film in 2003. It was part of TNT's Nightmares and Dreamscapes from the stories of Stephen King in the summer of 2007. Yep.
I remember that one.
Stephen King's short story, Autopsy Room 4, is about a man trapped in an autopsy room. It's being made into a feature film with British director Ranjit S. Marwa. He's a veteran Hollywood exec, and veteran Hollywood exec John Levin, whose executive producer credits include Netflix's King adaptation of In the Tall Grass, which was a pretty good show.
Yeah, I like that.
Director Maestro King is given the green light for the adaptation, which will be written and directed by Marwa, and who has a prolific low-budget U.S. and U.K. genre fare to date. It's currently in development. Dexter, again, on X, they posted, Netflix posted that Dexter Resurrection has finished filming, and it will premiere June 2025. On Netflix.
That's weird, but you know, whatever, right? Yeah. And that's a movie.
It's a series.
Oh, it's a series.
Series that will be on Netflix, yeah.
Okay. Because they do have the original Dexter on Netflix.
Yeah, they do. And they're the ones that I think paid for. Well, it's still Showtime producing it, but it's being done on Netflix, so I don't know. They also had the new series was up there after it was off of Showtime. A trailer I posted last week on our Facebook group, and I also posted it on Blue Sky, is Return of the Living Dead reboot teaser trailer coming Christmas 2025.
You can tell it was Christmas themed, right?
With the yeah.
snow at the cemetery. It was pretty cool.
Tarman is back and will be here in time for next Christmas. Official announcement: the next installment of Return of the Living Dead will hit theaters Christmas 2025, taking place 18 months after the events of the Unita Hardware in warehouse in Louisiana, Kentucky. A new Tri-Action 245 leak puts a small Pennsylvania town in the brink of zombie outbreak during Christmas of 1985. Fun. Take place in Pennsylvania.
That's going to be fun.
No, yeah. I wonder if that's an homage to, Romero.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead, yeah.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Mortal Kombat 2 sequel movie will feature Kano 2.0, according to TheDirect.com. They had an interview with the actor Lawson. I can't remember his first name, and somehow I didn't write the fuck down there.
His character was good in the first one. I was like,
yeah, oh, as man. Kano. Yeah, and I'm then he got killed. Back.
Yeah,
he got killed.
Glad they're bringing him back.
As like he says in an interview, I can say that in the second Mortal Kombat, Kano has a new chapter in his life, that chapter being death. And, you know, death alters you. So, yeah, prepare yourself for Kano 2.0. As we all know, if anyone's a fan of the games, Kano's alliance with the alliances can change on the drop of a hat. That's certainly true in the second one. It's going to keep you on your toes, guessing about who Kano is siding with. Mortal Kombat 2 will be released in theaters October 24th, 2025.
Nice. Looking forward to that.
I posted another trailer for another film, an A24 comedy horror, Death of a Unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
That looks fucking nice funny. I think that's
good cast.
I was
surprised at the cast.
Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega, Will Poulter, Tia Leone, and Richard E. Grant.
What?
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah, it does.
Expect it to release in spring 2025, so we don't have an official date yet.
Already lining up some good ones for 2025.
Yeah, yeah. 2024 was quite the year for horror, so 2025, man, it's really stacking up to be something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stranger Things has finally wrapped filming season 5 and the show altogether. According to a posting on Etsy, it is wrapped and going into post-production. When's it going to air?
Don't 2 years know. From now?
Maybe 2 years. Maybe.
I hate that too. It's like you sort of forget. I mean, you remember what happened, but because it wasn't that deep of a story, but you still, it's like you always forget. Because it's forever.
I think the challenge is going to be that everyone is still playing a high school kid when none of those people are of high school age at this
point. And they're
point.
Not even playing like seniors. They're supposed to be like sophomores or something like that, right? Like or freshmen.
Listen, hopefully there's like a time jump or something. They got a
driver's license, right?
I don't know. What a mess.
Yeah. What a mess. I mean, I'll probably watch it just to, you know, close it out, but
Yeah,
I don't know. I think all the jokes online.
With the old.
Yeah, them being aged and everything is just, come on. It's fantastic.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyway, we all love Evil Dead Rise. We love Lee Cronin. Well, guess what? He is making a Mummy movie. That's right.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Lee Cronin, according to the Hollywood Reporter, is making The Mummy for New Line Cinema and produced by Atomic Monster and Blumhouse.
Oh, wow.
According to Lee Cronin's interview in Hollywood Reporter, he says, this will be unlike any Mummy movie you have ever laid your eyeballs on before.
Hmm. I've never seen a scary Mummy movie.
This is going deep into the earth to raise something very ancient and very frightening.
Okay.
Hmm. So... I'm excited. You know, we have the Universal Monsters, you know, coming back together one way or another. We had the Invisible Man, which was great. We have Wolfman, which looks like it's going to be pretty decent. And then we have the Mummy. I mean, come on. It's got to be better than the last Mummy film that had fucking that midget and as the lead role.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, come on. All right. I was watching a YouTube video the other day of Convention Junkie. They have a channel where they were at a convention and they interviewed Tom Savini and what's his name from The Walking Dead, the special effects guy. I can't remember his name now.
Oh, yeah. Greg Nicotero.
Greg Nicotero. There you go. Yeah. So they interviewed Greg Nicotero and Tom Savini. They talked about their history in films and special effects and how they met each other and the things they've worked on and highlights of their careers. And then in the middle of talking all that, Tom Savini says, by the way, you know, Night of the Living Dead, the 1990 remake that I did, every interview you'll ever read about it, I say it's about 30% the movie I wanted it to be. He said, well, Sony's picking it up and doing a 4K release next year with a director's uncut, unedited version. That is now closer, more like 60% of the movie I wanted it to be.
That's cool.
So he said, if you like the film, it's worth getting because the vision he had was having the film start in black and white and then transition to color, kind of like as an homage to the original film. He said they did that. They're doing that in this new release. So it's going to be a lot more of what he envisioned as the director of that film. And he's very excited about it. And he said, we should be too. And I am.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is a very good remake. I really loved that.
No, I loved
film.
It. I loved it.
Yeah. And it's a bummer. It's like the Blu-ray is the only thing that's around, and it's hard to come by.
I was going
to
say, I don't think I've ever seen it on cable or anything regular.
No,
yeah, it got like shelved. And in fact, it's funny because last year I was watching, I watch a bunch of YouTube channels about people collecting films, and the one guy was like, "I'm dying for this film. Where the hell is the 4K version? It's got to come out sometime. It was a good movie." Yeah. And guess what? Sony's actually going to is working on restoration right now. And they'll have it out for later this year, according to Tom Savini.
Cool.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
There's a new clip of the monkey that was courtesy of Entertainment Weekly as a Christmas gift from the director. The monkey is like a comedy, except people die in insane ways, according to the author of this article. It comes out February 21st, 2025. Watch that clip. It makes a good case for the fact that it's going to be a great comedy horror.
Yeah. I didn't have any context, and I was chuckling at the misfortunes of that woman.
Yeah.
Face. Yeah.
And then she steps in that thing on her way down the stairs with her face on fire.
Yeah, face on fire. She steps in that jar
or whatever it is.
Yeah. And then we don't get to see that she runs right into the mail post and gets impaled by it.
Well, maybe not, though, too, because remember the thing on the roof? The weather vane was a little shaky, too, so that might come into play.
Maybe.
It's like a slapstick version of Final Destination.
Yeah. So I'm all game for that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody likes a little comedy in their horror every now and then, and this looks like it's going to be pretty good. All right. That is the news. You guys got anything you want to talk about that I missed?
No, I've been trying to finish up the last season of What We Do in the Shadows. I think I got like 2 episodes left.
I think the last 2 episodes are the best 2 episodes of the whole season.
Really?
Yep. Okay. Yep. The last 2 episodes, loved them. And the finale, brilliant. No one's ever done a finale like that before. Good. And it just works perfectly. I loved it. Yeah,
looking forward to it. Yeah, it's been a great season. I'm kind of, I mean, it's great that they're going to go out on top instead of just like dragging on.
Right.
But it will be sad not to have that to look forward to anymore.
It will be, especially like the way that Laszlo
Matthew Berry.
The way that his character Laszlo pronounces things is always so fucking funny.
Yeah,
so fucking funny. So I'm gonna miss that show. I really will. We've got to find some other way to get Matt Berry.
Yeah.
Well, he's done some movies too, right?
Yeah, but not like as the Toast of London was a great show, and then they did Toast in Tinseltown. But
him in something recently. I was like, holy shit. There's Matthew Berry, but he didn't
he's been doing some voiceovers and video games and a couple cartoons and stuff now too.
And I saw what the hell's this Nandor, he was in a movie and I'm like, I recognize this guy, totally, like, holy shit, I think he's like British or something like that in this movie.
Yep,
that I saw
no
him
British
because he wasn't in that role,
and he didn't like, have his facial but he didn't have his facial hair either. I'm like, I know this dude. I know this dude. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was him. Nice. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's all I know him as, is Laszlo.
Yeah.
All right. Now we got 5 flicks to watch, and that's me. 5 flicks to watch. I picked Max.
Okay.
HBO Max. So 5 great flicks to watch. It's holiday season, so I picked mostly holiday stuff, like number 1, Krampus. Love that film.
Yep.
Love that film.
It is a great film. Just watched it a couple nights ago.
Yep, same here. I got the 4K and also have the naughty edition where it doesn't end so happily. Or it ends more gruesome, let's say.
Yeah, interesting.
And it's uncensored. So the part where the aunt goes, I know when life's about to screw you because I know what it's like when life comes at you with its pants down.
Mm-hmm.
In the naughty version, she goes, I know what it's like when life tries to screw you, and I know what it's like when life comes at you with his dick out. I was like, that was more funny. They should have done it that way.
I don't know why they didn't.
Yeah, they censored that. So I guess to keep it PG-13. I don't know. My next movie is Gremlins, a great holiday horror film.
Yep.
Night of the Living Dead, the original black and white version, a classic. Love that movie. That is the birth of zombie films. Love it. It Chapter One.
Yeah.
Top rated horror, rated R horror film of all time.
Just a great movie.
And Salem's Lot 2004. I know a lot of people have complained about it. I haven't watched it yet. I think it's great. I think it's a great film. I haven't
watched it yet.
And there's my five picks.
Yeah, I've seen all the Salem's Lots. Yep.
Yeah.
What did you think of the new one? Did you think it was better or worse than the original?
Than the original?
I think it was scarier than the original.
It was.
The original scared me as a kid, but watching it now is like,
No, they did. They did a really nice job with the remake, I thought.
I haven't watched it, so
I guess, like you said, it is scarier. It followed the story pretty good. I would say, the new one's pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it was decent.
Okay, all right.
Plus, the lead actor that played the writer guy, he is going to be the Sentry in the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
All right. Now let's get to the top five. Top five reviewed of 2024. Now, these are all the films that reviewed in 2024.
Which is only 12 of them.
Yep.
So you shouldn't have any honorable mentions.
Yeah.
So five top reviewed of 2024. This is Craig, Sal, Chris.
Alrighty.
All right. And we're going to have probably a lot of the same, I'm guessing.
Right? I would think so. Yeah. Well, because there's only 12 to choose from. So.
Yep. So number five, I went with Terrifier 3.
Nice.
It's a good movie. I just rewatched it the other night. There's a lot.
The movie for me just lacks substance, but the kill scenes put it on the board.
The story in this one definitely was much better than the first two. I watched it a second time, and the story's pretty. It's a basic story, but most slashers are. But I definitely more of a story in this one.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what threw it at number five for me. My number four was Anything for Jackson.
That was different. That was different. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a story about, an older couple.
It was interesting to see, what's his name? Anthony Starr, playing a different role, right?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Number three, I went with Late Night with the Devil.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of our early ones, right?
Yeah. Yep. That was last February or March, I think was when that came out.
Yep. Number two, I went with Oddity.
Nice.
That was an interesting one, too.
Yeah. I know there was a ton of really good movies that we didn't review, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Because I was, looking for, Immaculate and...
Yeah, nope.
We didn't review that one.
Yeah.
We talked about it a bunch.
Yeah, the...
We didn't review...
I know.
The First Omen, either.
I know. And number one, I think probably going to be on everybody's number one, is Long Legs.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay.
I haven't watched that one yet again. Was it?
Yeah.
I'll watch that this weekend.
I bought it. I bought the 4K version of it, and I love it.
Nice. Any added features to it? Or?
Some behind-the-scenes stuff. And my favorite part of any collector, of any disc, is the director's commentary, because you learn things that you about the film that are interesting or...
Yeah, they had a good article in Fangoria two issues ago that was an interview between Nicolas Cage and what's his name, the director.
Good Perkins.
Yeah. It was a pretty interesting interview, the two of them talking back and forth.
Yeah.
All right, my top five. My number five, Craig, Terrifier number three.
Okay.
I was like, when you said that, I'm like, shit, man, that's my number five, too.
That's funny.
Well, my number four, which was one of the early ones we reviewed, is Destroy All Neighbors.
Okay.
That was a great movie, man.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah. And the over-the-top violence,
the gore, oh my God.
Alex Winter is that Irish dude or Scottish or whatever the hell he was.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Yeah, that was a great, great movie. My number three is Infected.
Okay.
I really like that one.
Infected.
Yeah.
Infested, you mean?
Infested. I'm sorry. Infested.
Oh, the spider one.
The spider one. Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Do we watch some? Sorry, man. I was like, damn, I don't think I remember that one. Infested. That was a good flick. We just talked about that director.
Yeah, because even the ending of that one was great. The giant spider.
The story was great. But I think, and we had a conversation about that, Sal, is I could sort of complain about him like yelling and screaming like the whole movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You said it's kind of maybe the French culture that's kind of.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
But like you said, the story was really good.
The story was great. The special effects, you know, they were mediocre. It wasn't a high budget film.
Looking
but
spiders, right?
It was very good. It built a lot of tension.
When they were going down that hallway.
That was the freaking freakiest part of the whole film.
I was on the edge of my seat that scene, man. Like, I felt the spiders, like, crawling on me.
Exactly, exactly. That's why I'm excited to see this guy do an Evil Dead film. So
yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah. My number two, Late Night with the Devil. I just watched it 2 weeks ago again because I got the 4K and I'm like, man, this is so
It was good. Really good. I liked the concept. The only thing when I complained about at the time was the last, like, 10 minutes where they just, you know, reveal everything. I would have preferred they just left that to your imagination.
Yeah.
But it was great.
And my number one, Long Legs. What a film, dude. What a film.
Yeah. It sure was, man. It sure was.
All right, Chris.
Old Nick Cage. All right, so my number five is Destroy All Neighbors.
Nice.
I really enjoyed that film. Actually, it's another one that I probably should revisit too because it was just a fun movie.
That one was going to replace my Terrifier if I did put it on. At number five, yeah.
My number four is Infested.
Nice.
Spiders creep me out, and I mean I like spiders. Like, I don't mind them, but like spider movies for some reason they always do it to me. Great flick. My number three is Terrifier 3. The violence in that movie was just like
the unique kill scenes.
Yeah.
And I thought that the opening scene was very suspenseful, you know, like, you know, it wasn't your typical art where it just, you know, like it was creepy.
Yeah.
My number two is Late Night with the Devil.
Nice.
Which, you know, I think like we said, it's pretty much everyone's number two or three. And then my number one is also everyone else's number one. Long Legs.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a unanimous number one of the year for reviewed films is Long Legs.
Of the ones that we reviewed.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure where it's going to fall on my list next month.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. It's going to be
a lot
on
of good
it's
movies.
It's
going to
be
out.
On it, but yeah.
It'll be on it. I don't know if it's going to take top dog, though.
No,
there's
no,
a lot
sure.
of good movies
for
out
sure.
this year.
For
there's
sure.
a lot of great movies. 2024 was just – when I looked back, you know, just at my notes of the top fives that I selected over the years of what we reviewed. And this year just has the best number of films. Like, there's so many good films that came out this
and
year.
And different kinds of films too.
Yeah.
You know, like we got a bunch of like body horror. We got slashers. We got possession movies. Like, you know, it's not just one thing is like carrying it, which is awesome.
Yeah. And it's like there's like a renaissance of like horror happening right now where we're getting back to like the 80s. Remember in the 80s, it was like, it seemed like,
oh yeah,
every month there was a new VHS tape of some B movie horror or something in the theater. Sometimes in the theater, there'd be three or four horror films at once.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And I feel like we're at that point again. Like we're getting to the point where like I just looked the other day, there's like five or six horror films that have been in the theaters over the last 3 months. And there's more coming out in the next 2 months. So it's just kind of crazy. I'm loving it. This is a good time to be a fan of horror.
And you got movies like Terrifier 3 beating, like, you know, The Joker, Folie à Deux, you know, a movie that spent like $1 million as opposed to a movie that was a sequel to like a much beloved movie that, well, I guess they decided to go in a different direction with it. But still, Terrifier knocked that movie down.
Yeah.
Yeah, or movies like Kraven the Hunter.
is that a horror? Well, at least for the studio it is, I guess.
it was a horror for the studio. They spent like, I don't know, I think they spent something like, you know, 30, what is it? Let's see what the budget was in that thing. Does it show?
You guys watch it?
Fuck no.
No. I've given up on their movies.
It only made $19 million.
Wow.
In the US. That's it. Night it was a complete and utter flop.
That's worse than Madam Web, right?
Yeah. This was the worst.
Is it a Marvel?
No, it's
no. It's Sony. Well, yes, it's a Sony. Yes, no. Marvel. That's but the thing that Marvel. Pisses me off. It's not a Marvel. It's a Sony picture.
But it's a Marvel.
It's a Marvel character. Yes.
Marvel character, but Sony made this shitty film. Sony makes films by executives.
No, I know. They did a Spider-Man or yeah.
No, yeah. They don't. They're not. Here's the most fucked up thing of all. They have an agreement with Marvel to use Tom Holland if they want to in their Spider-Man universe films. They haven't used him even once. They cranked out Morbius, which was a complete and utter flop.
It's Morbin time.
Yeah, Madam Web, which fell behind that, and then Kraven the Hunter that fell behind that. First of all, Kraven is one of the best villains for Spider-Man, and they don't have Spider-Man in it at all.
Yeah, like, what's the point?
Kraven's a bad guy?
Yeah, yeah. Kraven the Hunter. Yeah, he's Kraven like the Hunter.
Russian, like a Russian prisoner or something? I don't remember.
Well, in the movie, they make him like a Russian prisoner from an oligarch family or some shit.
Yeah.
But he's a hunter, you know, and he's the biggest story hunter. Is Kraven's last hunt when he hunts Spider-Man. It's just it's a fucking great story. And I feel like they're just screwing this shit on purpose. And the truth is, they are. I mean, the bottom line is Sony, in order to maintain the ownership of Spider-Man and characters, they got to release a film every 2 years.
So they just put out crap.
Oh, sure.
Just put shit out. Push, just to keep the license. Yep.
Squeezing it through.
Yep. Bunch of garbage. All right. Let's get to our film review. The film this month is Unseen from 2023. This film is a hour and 16 minutes long on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 67% audience score and an 87% tomato meter reviewer score. Let me give you a quick synopsis. The two women form an unlikely connection when a depressed gas station clerk, Sam, played by Jolie Purdy, receives a call from Emily, played by Midori Francis, a nearly blind woman who is running from her murderous ex in the woods. Emily must survive the ordeal, with Sam being her eyes from afar using a video call. Director Yoko Okumura, producer Paige Pemberton and Paul Yud, screenwriter Salvatore Cardani and Brian Rawlings. This is produced by Blumhouse Television Company. It is a horror mystery thriller, and it came out in streaming March 7th, 2023. It was a direct-to-streaming film, which, you know, that's one of the perks of streaming. You got, it's kind of like the VHS days where if you make a film, you can throw it out on a streaming provider and have it be seen. So.
Yeah, they cool probably could have released it. They probably could have released it in a theater.
They probably could have. I mean, Blumhouse didn't. I've never seen any real trash.
No, it sort of flew under the radar. I normally don't pick movies like this, but
yeah, it was an interesting concept. Like when it started,
it was certainly unique. I'll say that much. Like I was thrilled with how unique it is, because that part kept my attention because of the fact that I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, my only thought in that whole thing, and I liked the movie. Was how blind could that chick have been? Like, Jesus, like, those glasses.
I wear contacts, and I'm telling you, like.
Listen, there are a lot of people out there that without their contacts or glasses, they are legally blind.
I can see about 3 or 4 feet. So, yeah, I'd be able to look at my phone. And
yeah, like, she was, like couldn't, she'd have, like, no, she wasn't nearsighted or far-sighted. Like, she just couldn't see at all. Like, that's some good-ass glasses she got there. Maybe, and she's an ER doctor, so maybe she should have went and got that surgery to get her eyes.
Yeah, that's what I would have said.
Yeah.
But that was my only complaint. Like, you know.
Yep.
But I thought there was some good suspense in it. Like, and the cinematography was actually pretty good, too.
I'm going to talk spoilery right now.
Yeah,
so
cinematography was really cool at some points, right?
Cinematography was fantastic.
Triple
was
screen
so
sometimes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Really cool.
The way they transitioned the one scene I remember, like, cut to the other person, and then they cut to a second screen with that person, and it took over the full screen.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Some of the cut scenes were awesome. Some of the transitions were very unique and awesome.
So, it starts off with the girl waking up.
Called the wrong number.
Yeah, well, she's waking up and... She can't see, you know, so you get the idea she something's wrong and her boyfriend or somebody's talking to her.
That scene was pretty good. Like that scene was
and
intense.
Then he started choking her, right?
Yeah. Dude, that was an intense scene. Like they got you hating that dude right off the bat, you know, like
yep.
That dude is a straight up asshole.
So yeah. She winds up escaping somehow and
because she bats her eyes and says she'll give it another shot with him.
Yeah.
And that's all he knew. That's all he wanted to hear. So he lets up a little bit. She fucking goes at him with the.
Yeah, I don't remember. A vase or something like that, right?
Yeah, a vase or something like that. And then she escapes, but she smashes her glasses in the process and then
steps on him. Right? You hear. She's like, oh shit. She picks him
it
up.
Makes, it, There's it no makes glass. Me, it makes me think Velma on the.
Yeah.
Jinkies.
Yeah.
Jinkies, my glasses. Yeah, she broke them shits all the time or lost them.
Yep.
So, yeah, she's running and she gets to a point where she tries calling the police. Well, she does get the police, which was good.
Yeah.
And then she gets disconnected somehow or, yeah.
They couldn't pinpoint her location exactly because she had her.
She turned off her location because she didn't want her boyfriend was tracking her. Yeah.
And she was trying to stay on the line with him, but he was coming or something like that. So she ran and then fell and broke the phone, sort of.
Yep. So then she calls. No.
Well, yeah. So that girl called her earlier and it was the wrong number. So she can't see her phone. So she just presses a number.
Yep.
And it happens to be this girl who had called her by mistake earlier. Yeah, who's working at some shitty ass? Dude, that place was a trip in itself.
Yeah, like, some shitty ass gas station in Florida. The thing that stressed me out because first of all, they cut to that girl and you see that she is in misery. She has a miserable job.
Yep.
She's surrounded by miserable people. Their boss is an asshole. The customers are assholes. Her phone is like she's poor and her phone is broken and barely working. She can't get the charger is busted. And you're just feeling like, oh my god.
Yeah, there's definitely some political jabs going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there was. And they had that weird ass can of shrimp sitting there on the counter.
That was bait
shrimp.
There's no lid on it though. Like at least put a lid on it. Jesus.
Yeah.
That lady that comes to the gas station. She's
that is my favorite part of the film.
I hated her more than I hated the boyfriend, dude. Right?
And you knew she was coming back too. You knew she was coming back.
Yeah, as soon as she found the card, she's like, "Oh shit!" You know what I mean?
She's coming back. We're getting another taste
of
her.
And she was such a fucking bitch,
dude,
man.
She play that role like to a T?
Yeah.
Just watching that was spitting her hate. Yes.
It was like
dude.
Spitting and she really played that hateful.
Oh, dude, yeah, she did.
I was like, oh my god.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping she would get blasted on.
But that was part of the it was a horror, I guess. There wasn't a ton of blood, but
there was some comedy to it.
There was definitely comedy.
Yeah.
But the best part was that chick, because everyone in Florida is carrying a fucking gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that she calls up her boyfriend or whatever, Big Daddy or whatever his name is, and he comes in packing like
he's like 4 foot five.
Yeah, right. And then when the boss comes in, he brings a fucking gun, and then he's like sees the other guy's gun, and he's on his fucking knees going, no, don't shoot.
Yeah,
that was a great scene.
It was fucking great.
So the gas station thing, she the attendant, she's got all kinds of stuff going on, right? She's trying to help this girl, and she really. You know, she's hesitant about it, but then she latches onto it and really goes with it. But she's distracted with all these things at the gas station. This is what makes it more intense, too, right?
Yeah.
And it got my anxiety high, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it did, because then you don't know when she gets back to that girl, like all of a sudden that dude's like there or like something, you know, or she fell down a hill.
Yeah, and you knew it was going to happen at one point where the phone's, dying.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, her charger broke off inside her phone.
Oh, that was another crazy scene.
Yeah.
Then she was trying to pry it out of there and stabbed herself in the hand. And the Slurpee machine was burping all over the place.
Well, that was part of the anxiety, too, right?
Yeah.
She was like so concerned. It was the dumbest thing in the world. But her boss, fixed that Slurpee machine.
That guy's an asshole.
No. Yeah, I mean, the film kept me on my toes, kept me interested. It was unique. It was great. That chick, her husband, when he came with the gun, the gold-plated fucking phone.
AR-15, yeah.
The fucking AR-15 and the fucking boss who was like a redneck asshole. He shows up with a gun. He's nearly pissing his pants and dropping his gun because he can't. he turns out he's just a fucking spineless puss.
Or even that big fat duck hunting guy that showed up and she was asked, excuse me, because he's trying to help this girl out in the woods, but she's not in the woods and has,
you do if you got lost in the woods? I wouldn't get lost in the woods.
Yeah. Okay, but if you would, I wouldn't, wouldn't happen. Okay, let's just suppose for 1 second.
Yeah, and he helped her though, right?
Yeah, he did. He was helping
her. Well, I would look for water, head the direction in water, and then follow the water. That'll probably lead you to town.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, hey, look at this guy. He helped him out at least.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be another asshole, but he helped.
No, that was, like I said, fucking great film. I was.
And then it had a feel-good ending, too.
Yeah. You know? She wound up saving the girl's life.
Yeah, they saved each other's lives, which I thought was just kind of a beautiful end to that movie. Like, I was not expecting anything from that movie when I read the synopsis of it. I'm like, it's gonna be one of those.
It's a
movies,
sleeper,
huh?
Like you said. They could have been in the theaters.
It almost made my list. It almost made number 5 on my list. Yeah. But I really liked Destroy All Neighbors. You know, totally different way. But
yeah,
I like this. This surprised me. It was a good.
Yeah, well, and then Blumhouse too. I was surprised. I didn't realize it was a Blumhouse movie too, or Blumhouse. Yeah.
Yeah,
Blumhouse,
me neither.
And I saw Blumhouse. I was like, oh.
Yeah, when I saw that too, I'm like, oh, it's got to be good then, because I'm pretty sure that Jason Blum isn't going to be producing any films that are crap.
There's been a couple.
That were stinkers.
The Black Friday Black Friday remake,
Black Christmas. When I saw it was Blumhouse.
Black Christmas
was like,
one
was Blumhouse.
Was awful.
I was like, sweet. And that,
You know,
it was the right time too.
Like
it wasn't terribly long, right? It was like an hour and 20.
No, that's right. It was an hour and 16 minutes. Maybe, yeah. Not bad at all.
Oh yeah, it was a good pace.
I think that was intentional too, right? Because it was pretty intense, and they just sort of was kind of real time-ish.
The boyfriend looked familiar. Was he in some other film? Michael Patrick Lane. Look him up for a second, because he looked familiar, and I was gonna Google him.
Yeah,
that scene at the barn was pretty creepy too.
Oh yeah. Oh, and the cops too. They showed up. They were anuses too, right? No questions. Just you listen to the people with the money complaining, right?
That chick, the girl who played that, like the Karen.
She's been in
a ton of stuff. Yeah. Like, I think I just saw something else with her in recently. Like, I was like, oh,
she
saw her in
some comedies too, I think, a lot.
And horrors. I think she's been in some comedy and,
both.
Huh. Yeah, so that I did not see that guy in something else, but he looked like it.
He did look familiar, I thought, too.
What about the blonde? Yeah. She's been in everything, like we said.
Yeah.
The rich blonde lady.
Oh, it's her. Missy Pyle. She was in Gone Girl, Galaxy Quest, Captain Fantastic. That was a pretty decent film.
TV too, I guess too, right?
Oh, she was the voice of Dr. Mallory Lacana in Archer. That's interesting.
I thought I recognized her from something else. Just I saw.
Yeah,
those,
me too.
None
Chris,
of those
but I, yeah.
She was in Ma. Do you remember Ma? That was a good one.
Yep.
She was in that film. She played a character named Mercedes.
She was the wife of that one dude. Remember, because all those girls like picked on her and stuff when she was younger, and she was one of the moms.
She was in the Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah.
She was the coach in that. So she was in a bunch of things. I know I've seen her before, but it looks like she was in a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Nothing ever major and not a big lead role in anything. But
yeah. I thought there was something I recently seen her in, but I guess not.
Percy Jackson, The Sea of Monsters. Yeah, she was in a bunch of shit. She was in the Mindy Project. That was an okay TV show. Yeah, so she was great in this film, though. The way she played that bitch. Oh, my God. I hated her so much.
That's what I said.
Same here.
I hated her more than the boyfriend. I was like, holy shit.
She was a cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she did. She was just relentless. Just like, and like I said, you felt that anger, like, man, holy shit.
Yeah. The girl who played the blonde chick, I think she's in something.
Carmen said, Carmen watched it with me. She said
she was in Good Boys.
Grey's Anatomy too.
Well, she was in Good Boys. She was the drug chick that that had the had their drone. She was the teenager that had the drone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's funny.
I think she's.
That's where I remembered her from, because when I saw her, I'm like, oh man, shit, that's a girl from Good Boys.
Good Boys.
She's in Sex Lives of the College Girls too. We watched that on Max. It's a funny show, but I think she's in that.
Anal Beads. That was a good movie.
Interesting. So, I
mean, like you said, the story is basically what we talked about. I mean, I don't want to spoil it too much. I mean, it's a lot of time her just running and talking and chatting.
Yeah.
And they did a good job with the characters, right?
I would say it's definitely worth watching. If you've got Amazon Prime, this is free on Prime right now. I think it's on a couple other services too, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I haven't seen it on.
I think I watched it on Paramount Plus, maybe?
Oh, really?
I watched it on Prime.
I would have watched it on Paramount if I knew. Because I just
if you're interested in seeing this film, it's definitely worth watching. I'm going to say, personally, I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
That's good.
I'm going too.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So it's going to be the American Nightmare podcast, 3.5 stars.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah. It was. And like I said, it's a quick hitter, only an hour and 16.
Which is nice.
And there was no point in this film at all where I was like, man, when is this?
No, there was no downtime on it, really, right?
No, yeah, I agree.
There wasn't.
Once the action picks up, it just keeps going. And the tension is great that it builds. It's a unique story, too. Like, I read some background on this. It was like filmed all on digital. So it was like, you know, no film. They spent a very low budget on it.
It's
and
on
a couple
Paramount.
Cell phones. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
It's on Paramount,
very,
too.
Very interesting.
I wish awesome. Like I said I would have watched it because Paramount has a lot of 4K stuff. I guess Prime does, too. But it seems to be a lot of 4K content on Paramount, which I like so far.
Yeah, nice. All right, gentlemen. There you have it. There's another episode in the bag. I want to take a moment to thank all of our listeners, those of you that download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. It looks like we've got a good, steady audience growing over the past year or so. We did have a bit of a drop-off, and I credit some of that to the fact that Facebook podcasts went away and the switch up of the YouTube podcast, the way they changed that a little bit, but it looks like our numbers are coming back. Just last episode, there is 100 people that downloaded in the first 2 days, so that's good.
Yeah, nice.
That means we should hit 300 listens by the end of this month or the end of January. So yeah, thank you everyone. If you want to contact us, you can do feedback at the American Nightmare Podcast or the-American-Nightmare.com. You can go to our Facebook page, reach us that way. And you can also call us and leave us a voicemail, which I don't know how long I'll leave this open because really it doesn't cost anything, but no one calls it. If you're too lazy to write an email or just don't want to write an email, you can leave us a voicemail. 1-562-247-5855 and let us know what you think. Tell us some top five list to do. Tell us a movie to review. Help us out a little bit. Give us some feedback. All right. Until next month. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
So long.
Thanks for a great year.